Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 28, December 6, 2011. It's Couples Month. Good evening, everybody. It's time for Ham Nation. I'm Bob Heil, and I'm back after, a week or 10 days out in the hinterlands and 4 days without internet. Oh, let me tell you, this is crazy. Gordo, how are you in Costa Mesa? Do you have your coat on? Isn't it cold there? What's happening down there?
It is. It's nice and breezy, but, you know, I brought some of that great Atlanta weather all the way back with me. And also, thanks to Gary, and we'll have Alex boot it in just a second, we brought a big Atlanta greeting for Ham Nation. So, Alex, let's let Ham Nation go in Atlanta.
Hi, this is Mark, KJ4VO, manager of HRO here in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you. Today we are holding Manufacturers Day. And these are all our great customers. Yay! Everybody.
Ham Nation is on the air.
All right. So Ham Nation on the air from Atlanta. All right. Back to you, Bob.
Yay. Everybody looked good. And I was glad to see Mark there. Sorry I couldn't be with you. But get out on these tours and can't get off those stages. What can I tell you? Oh, that's great. Well, we got a great show tonight, and this starts what I have been calling our Couples Month. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do that, here we are with a cover shot of two wonderful friends of all of ours here on Ham Nation, living just down the road from Gordo, K6IRD. And W6IRD. And later on in the show, we're going to visit their home via Julian and Gordo's magic recorder. So we'll be back and talk to them. But we're going to have a whole month of couples. So you'll see that there's a lot going on in amateur radio, not just one little kooky Illinois dude with a bunch of junk here. We have all kinds of people, and you're going to love Sharon and Wayne. They're terrific. So we're going to get into that. One of the things that I did when I was out, I had a lunch with the Buffalo, New York, ham radio guys, the DX Club. I think I have a picture of them.
They look pretty nice. Wow, they look like DXers.
W2UB there on the left. He's the I think the president of the DX Club in Rochester, and some of the guys, and we had a good time talking about Ham Nation. They all watch, and of course DX in general, and they all have their HC4s in place. We have to teach Gary later on about HC4s. They don't sound like you hold your nose. They cut through the pile up. That's why they're there. And those guys are religious on that, let me tell you. But they're having a great time in Buffalo with a wonderful club, and they all watch Ham Nation, so we're happy about that. We're one of those lucky bunches that we have a lot of great people watching the show and sending us emails, and we really appreciate what's going on in the chat room. We appreciate you guys keeping it all together for us. And we're going to answer some questions after a while when we get into some of the videos. We'll be able to get on with you. I also want to mention that you guys want to keep a watch on Tim Allen's new television show called Last Man Standing. It's on ABC. It's on right before Ham Nation. And it's there with ham radio in place. And we want to be watching this. He's got a bunch of gear. Of course, Ray from Ray Novak from ICOM has helped them get it all set up. Their producer is a ham, and we're going to have John on as a guest here in coming weeks. But be watching, because you're going to see your favorite hobby featured on network television, like it's part of it. John says he's even going to write something about 40 meters in the script. So how wonderful is all of this, Gordo, to get this kind of activity going when the numbers are the highest they've ever been from the FCC license? And we hope that Ham Nation's helped that a lot. I know Leo has been a big help in bringing amateur radio to a lot of people that normally would never know about what we do and how much fun we have. So kind of fun, huh? That's great.
Oh, it's great.
Do you have some emails? Do we going to read some emails, too, before we start? Or you want to rip
no,
off?
No, I've got them. I've got them.
Okay.
VE1JBL, that's Jim, and he says that he watches us all the way out there in VE1 land, president of the West Coombe ARC. And we've got another one from DC9, Foxtrot Oscar. Now, you DXers, I would know a DC, I have no idea where Delta Charlie 9 is, but he says that
airplane,
he watches,
isn't it?
Maybe so. He says that he likes a chit chat and he enjoys Ham Nation, and he hopes that we'll talk more about operating some of this gear. So that's a great suggestion, and yes, we will. And then, Bob, you are going somewhere with a lot of the ham industry this coming weekend. So tell everybody where you're going and who you're going to be with and all the excitement that's going to happen in the Ohio area this weekend, Bob.
Well, it's our annual trek to Ohio. Thursday night, I'll be in Middleton at the Christmas dinner of the Southwest DX Club. This is a very predominant club, and some of the members of that club were on here a few weeks ago, Gordon, the kids. I'm so excited that I'm going to get to go to their Christmas party they've invited me to come to on Thursday night.
Wow, that's great.
Friday, we're going to be in Reynoldsburg, Ohio at Universal Electronics Store. Fred, Barbara, and all the guys there. So we'll try to bring you back some video, some of that perhaps. And I spend time with them each year doing this little trek. On Friday night, I've been invited to go to the Dara Christmas party. Now, this is the club that puts on Hamvention. And it's kind of interesting to go to Hera Arena when there's no Hamvention, Gordo. You walk through those halls that where your booth is and where our booth is and all that. And
it's
really strange. But we have fun every year at their Christmas party. And we'll bring you back some news of that. Then on Saturday, I go down to Hamilton, Ohio, and spend the day with Roger Smallwood and his family that own and run Rita and Larry, R&L Electronics. And there's everybody going to be there, I guess. All of the guys that, I guess you saw them last week, didn't you, at Atlanta? Phil was there. Dennis was there. Is that right? They were all there last week. Uh-oh, he's lost his audio. Goodness. But we will be there with all of those guys, and we'll bring you back some news of that. But that's all going to happen this Saturday. I'm doing a workshop also at 11 o'clock. So if you're in the area of Cincinnati, come and see us at R&L. That'll be kind of fun. Always is. Well, what we ought to do here is let's get the video queued up from Wayne and Sharon, and let you see what's going on in Orange, California with some big-time radio. You want to pay attention to Wayne's workshop. I have never seen such a clean workshop, never. This thing is amazing. And he's an expert at Collins repair and all kinds of things. A lot of big AM transmitters, but he's really good with Collins. He has been for quite a few years. So let's take a walk through K6IRD and W6IRD station in Orange, California. Take it away, guys.
and Ham Nation. We're at the Spring Shack. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Gordon. How have you been?
We have been fine. Call sign?
My call sign is W6IRD.
And who's this pretty lady right here, all tuned in?
This is Sharon, K6IRD.
Well, this is our family night on Ham Nation, and we're just delighted to have the opportunity to see the Spring Shack right here. And how long have you both been ham radio operating?
Well, I've been a ham since 1949, quite a few years.
Gosh.
And Sharon's been a ham, officially a ham, since about 2004. But she's been around ham radio services. We've been married for 48 years come tomorrow. So she's been around it all that time.
Wow. Come tomorrow, happy anniversary from Ham Nation.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, Sharon, how long have you been playing ham radio?
Since 2004.
Wow.
Yes, that's. It seems like a long time ago, but then in other times it doesn't seem like that long ago, especially when I think of people like Wayne, my husband, who's been a ham for many, many years, actually 1949. I passed the tech test, that is. Then I went the next day and studied with you and studied for the general and was able to pass that test also. So that and passing the 5 words a minute, I was suddenly a general. Well, that was great, and it happened to be by the time I sent off my license. And when it came, it was about mid-September. And then I immediately applied for my vanity call of K6IRD. And then I got that back about mid-October. And it happened to be that the ARRL Worldwide Contest was the end of that month, of which I really hadn't planned on getting on that. But a Saturday morning after breakfast, I thought, well, I think I'll go in there and tune around and see what I'm listening to and what I'm going to hear. And I got started, and Gordon, that was it. I did not leave that radio the rest of that day into the night, never got out of my moo-moo, never combed my hair, never put my makeup on, nothing. I was just so hooked to it. Wayne was bringing me my food, my water, my drinks, and I thought, this is it. I knew then and that at that very moment that I was a ham from the word go.
Wow, you're really doing that like a pro. Now, how many countries have you worked in this short period of being a general class ham?
Well, I'm very proud to say that I have now worked 253 countries, and I have 239 confirmed.
Wow, it sounds like you're catching up with Papa Bear Wayne, huh?
Well, I'm trying to, but I've got a ways to go. You know, they say the first 100 is pretty easy. So-so. And the second 100 comes a lot harder, and then that last 100 in the 300s is the real challenge to this. But I'm over the hump of the 200s. I've got 253. But Wayne, he's been doing this a long time, and he's on the honor roll, which means he's got he's minus like just a few countries to be worked, and they're the very, very rare ones.
Wow. Now, what's your technique when you're on this rig to break a new country? Any special things you want to tell our viewers?
Well, I have to say that, number one, we have great equipment, a marvelous antenna, and a good amplifier, great equipment, and the female voice. That always breaks the pileups.
Really? Okay. And so that's your technique, is use that lovely voice to get the rare stations, huh?
I do. I set my call out, and oftentimes they will come back and say, the YL station, the YL station only. They didn't hear my call, but I heard my voice.
Oh, that is great. Now, what's your favorite band, Sharon?
Well, you know, I like 20 meters, but right now 10 and 12 and 15 even, but 10 and 12 are doing so well that that has become the one that you really want to focus on, because I'm now trying to get some IDXCC on other bands. I have it on 20 meters, but now I'm looking to do it on the other bands.
Now, Wayne, we're here at your wonderful, I can't even call it a shop. We'll call it a complete studio. Can you maybe describe to our viewers some of the equipment we're looking at?
Well, for the AM station here, I have an R390A that I have restored. And then I have a Behringer audio processor. Because running into the TT68 transmitter, you do need to process the audio so it does come to like studio quality. And then we have a frequency counter here that tells you exactly what frequency you're on at all times. And then we have the Rode loudness meter here, which is a wonderful piece of equipment made by Mike Giroux, K06NM. And it tells you what your voice is doing, what your peaks are doing. And we have the Heil PR30 microphone, which is an extremely good quality microphone for AM use.
That's great. Now, you do a lot of AM as well. What are some of these other transmitters behind you?
Well, this here's the AM transmitter here. And I have, over here, I have a Collins KW1 and a bunch of others. But in the radio room in the other house, I have another FT1000 Delta like this, an amplifier. So we have antenna switches we can switch into the house or out here in the shop, either way, so we can operate from any position we want to. You're looking at right now is a Collins KW1 transmitter. It was built in about 1955, and they only built 150 of these units, and they have a registry now of them. And they know where all but about 30 of them are in the world, and ones that have been destroyed and lost due to cannibalization or whatever reason for losing them. This is serial number 57. I do know of a couple of them that are not on the register, but the people that own them are very secretive about it and don't want to put them on the registry. So we know that there's quite a few of them still left in existence. They're quite valuable and quite hard to come by. Okay, you're looking at there is a Collins 30K4 transmitter that was built, AM transmitter that was built about 1946, 47. Most of them were sold to the Bureau of Land Mines and Forestry Service because they're two-channel transmitters. They can be converted to amateur use, and they're quite a bit of fun to do. This one here is in the process of being restored. I've got about 80% of it done and haven't had time to get back and finish it. But that's going to be another project that I'm going to try and get done someday.
Wow, Wayne, you really got the stuff here.
Well, yes. Fortunately, I've got quite a bit of equipment here.
What have you got, Wayne?
I've got a full machine shop and sheet metal shop here, plus electronic shop. I bought this milling machine many years ago, brand new. I'm the only one that's ever used it, and it's just like new right today. I've had it for many years, but I have sheet metal bending equipment in the back, and drill presses, and hole punches, and this is all digitally controlled here, so that when I want to make a cut, why I can tell exactly what it's supposed to do. Wow. Okay, well now up on the shelf up here above us, we have a bunch of microphones I've collected over the years, and they're of all different vintages of ham use. As you can probably see in your video there, there's many of the D104s, an old EV1, and some Electrovoice 664s.
What's this one?
That's an EV1. That's the very first microphone that Electrovoice made of that style. That's
wow.
Very, very old. That's brand new, never been used. I took it out of the box. I still have the box it came in. But I put it on the shelf for display is all. I have quite a bit of equipment around here. It's kind of crowded back here where you're trying to take this pictures because all of the nuts and bolts we keep. And up on the shelf, I have all sorts of meters and things like that. Now, here on the bench.
Oh, here's a beauty, Wayne. Wow.
Here's a Ranger that I just picked up, and I'm restoring it. I got it all cleaned up. Now I've got to make it work. But it's in very, very good condition. I've got a couple of things to do to it. But it'll be another nice addition for some starting ham.
Where do you get all the instruction manuals for all this gear?
Well, instruction manuals, you just have to keep hunting for them. What I do is I have original manuals, but I make copies of them, put them in binders, and I have a shelf full of manuals. And once in a while I get Sharon to use a copy machine and make copies for me.
All right, what else we have here, Wayne?
Well, going around here a little bit, here's a... a hand brake, what they call a brake for bending metal. I can make chassis and cabinets and everything else here as well. It's fortunately I've got the capabilities of doing it. And on this shelf over here is a 1938 Holocrafters receiver on top.
Oh, wow.
And it's about 90% done. I've got to take the front panel off and do a couple things to it. But the inside is all together and working. Then the one below it is a Holocrafters. That's the one above is a 1938. The one below is 1941.
Wow.
Holocrafters SX 28, and it's just about 50% done, but one, like many other projects around here, it's had to sit in the wayside till I get some other things done.
Gordon, I know Wayne is a little too modest to tell you this, but Wayne built this shop entirely himself. He built it himself, and on the board here, he put that date up there, which is the date that he started. That was when he put the first shovel spade into the lawn that was out here. And then you see the finished date of March of 1991. So it took him just a year and a month to build this shop. And isn't it a marvelous shop? Well, here we have a selection of keys that has been one of Wayne's collectibles. So, Wayne, why don't you tell them about your keys?
Well, I've got down on this shelf down here, which you probably can't see too much of, I've got a whole bunch of Viroplexes all the way going back to 1917. I've got a bunch of McElroy teardrop keys, which are very rare. And then I've got a whole bunch of different types of Viroplex paddles, Viroplex keys, Brown Brothers, and, of course, an old telegraph sounder. Everybody's got to have one of those in their collection. And it's just fun to collect the old stuff. You don't use it, but you have it in your collection. It's nice to know that someday it'll get passed on to somebody else who will enjoy collecting it as well. Okay, on the top shelf, I have a collection of old tubes, some of them going back to the 30s, some Arcturus Blues, a bunch mostly ham-related tubes, though, and some are new and some are old and some don't work. And, of course, I've got an old Collins speaker here in the center. And down below it here, if you look down here, I have a Signal 1 CX-7A, which is an old radio that was built about 30 years ago, and they were very, very good at their days. They were far ahead of their time. They've got a lot of features in them that we're just now seeing in the new radios. But it's just nice to have it. I use this for my vintage AM station, vintage sideband station. And, of course, I've got down on the floor, I've got a 75A4 receiver. I got stuff everywhere.
This is my official operating station. As you can see here, I have everything that I could possibly want or need. I have my Yaesu FT-1000, Delta 1000, and I've got my computer screens here, which helps me to log in, identify, and then automatically I can put in the country and what frequency that they are on by just double-clicking on a station I see here. The red line means I've not worked that country before, so that would be new for me. This one here that's showing right now was on earlier today, and it's not active right now. I haven't brought it up. But I have my antenna tuner right here that was made by our friend Larry, K6YUI. And then I can that shifts my antennas to either 20 meters or log periodic, 40 meters or 80 meters. I have my antenna tuner here so I can turn the antenna to the correct location heading. And then this radio over here, I don't use it that much, and it is a Pro 2, which is a 6-meter radio. And then that which helps me the most is located right here behind me, and that is the amplifier. That gives me the oomph to get out where they really can hear my voice. So I'm very grateful to have that. And I have a selection here of my QSL cards just for 2011 that I have received that I will be shortly sending to ARRL for accreditation. This one here is from Nui. This one's from Nepal. Wow. This one's from Ethiopia. I won't go through them all, but just some of the ones I have. There's Greenland. There's Norway. There are just several of them here, and of those, there are several that are my new countries, and then others are the countries I've requested for confirmation, or QSL, as they call them, because that will give me then the numbers I need to get DXCC on all the different bands, of which I currently have DXCC on 20 meters, so I'm looking to get them on the other bands. So this is my operating station right here. And then just some more collection of things that Wayne has. But we've sort of decided that I have officially taken over this room here from my radio room. And I leave Wayne to do his thing out there in the shop.
Oh, they were so much fun to interview, Bob. They were great.
They're great people, good friends. And as you, I've known them a long time, and I love going to their house and just walking through that that place. Well, an interesting thing about this, everybody, he did not clean that shack up. Like, if you wanted to come in here and see what's going on, I have cleaned it 2 days. That place is always like that, and I'm just so thrilled that they allowed us to come and visit their station and their home. But they're wonderful people. So try to work them. If you hear them on, you can't miss it. W6IRD, K6IRD. So that's a wonderful couple of ham radio, and just another facet to what goes on in this great hobby.
Boy, that's for sure, Bob. And wait till next week. Julian and Hannah and I and Suze visit Dan and Kristen Dankert in 6PEQ, K6PEQ. And they have so much gear so expertly placed in their radio room, you would not believe it. So next week, next couple, the Dankerts.
they're a fun couple, and he's got a really high-tech ultimate station. Wait a minute, not one. I think he's got about six of them in that room. So we'll get to visit.
Oh, you're that. Right about that. Yeah, you're right about that. He's got plenty of things. And, you know, we met a lot of great couples this past weekend in Atlanta. So I'll let you take it back, Bob, and then we'll get Alex ready to roll the next video. And our thanks to Gary that took that long 8-hour drive to get there and 8 hours back. So, Bob, back to you, and you can talk a little bit about the excitement at a ham show at a storefront. Bob?
Well, one thing that I want to set clear here for a lot of guys that might just be coming into this hobby, when you're in this hobby decades, like Wayne and Gordo and I and George and a lot of us, yeah, you accumulate all this stuff. Trust me, you do. But don't be scared. You can enter this hobby and work the world and have just as much fun with this little box right here. And there's a number of these little boxes. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money, and you don't have to build all the things that you saw there. But once you get into the hobby, you probably will, because it's a lot of fun. So we're trying to bring you all aspects here on Ham Nation of what this hobby is all about, because it's got a lot of things going on. And one of the things you want to do is try to find a store. I know there aren't a lot of them in every city, but if you get to visit some larger city that has a ham radio store, go. It's a very unique thing when you go into a ham radio store. Nothing like it. And I'm really happy that we're able to bring you the HRO, what they call Manufacturer's Day, from Atlanta. And thanks so much for going, Gordo, I appreciate that. And let's see, is Gary with us? Gary, are you here this week with us?
I am tuned in, Bob. It's a pleasure to be on the show at the same time as you are.
Yeah, well, listen, before we start, thank you very much for sitting in when I was gone and without email, without internet. And, it's a horrible feeling. But you do such a great job, and I appreciate you being here. And we'll be gone some other times coming up, but thanks a lot. And this was kind of special. You took your video camera and went to Atlanta. So, Gordo, are you ready to roll that that big tape recorder you took with us, or did you do this on?
We sure are, but thanks to Gary. All right, Gary, you're on. So, Alex, if you'll roll the Ham Radio Outlet Atlanta video.
What is going on here is Manufacturer's Day. This is December 3rd, 2011. Kenwood, Icom, Yaesu, MFJ, Diamond, Comet. I think we're just giving away hundreds of dollars of ICOM and Yaesu coupons and Diamond antennas, Comet antennas. Kim was giving away a TS-590 at 5 o'clock. That's the big one.
I'm here with Gordon to talk a little bit about a new, brand-new Comet product that has been gone over very well. It's an antenna analyzer. You set this switch to the correct frequency range, and then with this knob, you can sweep through the frequency range and find where SWR and impedance is the best. So this is a great new tool. It does two functions, but it does two functions extremely well, SWR and impedance. This connector is for HF through 300 megahertz. 300 megahertz or higher is a N connector. So we get a better impedance with an N connector at those frequencies. And if any of the people who are viewing this watch the new show on ABC called Last Man Standing, Tim Allen is using one of these to adjust his antenna. I think it's December 13th on ABC. You'll get to see Tim Allen working his ham station. So thanks for stopping by. And I'm going to go jump Gordon here. So please, here he goes. Here he goes.
Hi, Ray Novak, N9J, over here in HRO Atlanta's D-Star corner. I'm going to show the new ICOM ID31A that we're debuting here at the Manufacturer's Day. The 31A is a UHF D-Star radio with internal GPS, alphanumeric memories, very simple and sweet to operate. We've preloaded all the U.S. repeaters that we have right now on the D-Star Info website, and the GPS will allow you to pull up the repeaters in your area. So you'll have everything programmed for that particular repeater with the call sign, frequency duplex, an SD card slot on the side for your memory storage, your setting storages, as well as your digital voice recorder for incoming call recordings and things like that. Fully alphanumeric, submersible, waterproof radio. This radio is developed from a lot of feedback from the users. One of the common things that we heard about the 92 and the 91 is the data port shared the same port as the speaker microphone. So now you can have both plugged in at the same time.
Well, I'd like to show you our K400 3/8C mount. We've been doing this mount for a while now. It's about the strongest mount out if you're going to be doing your ham sticks, your screwdriver antennas, any antenna that has a high wind load. What it's doing is you have a little tab right here. That little tab's like a stabilizing tab, so your antenna's not going to rock back and forth. It's going to keep it solid to your vehicle. You have your stainless steel screws and a metal plate here. But now, if you're going to run an antenna that needs a ground plane, take that plate, cut about an inch off it, and the two outside set screws you put into the in your vehicle, two inside set screws, you'll actually dig into this plate. That'll spread the force of the set screw out and make your mount stronger. And that way, over about a week or something, when you tighten it back up and your sheet metal collapses in, then you're going to retighten it, and that should be it. Then you should be good. But for right now, there's not another mount out there that can withstand the high wind loads of this mount here.
So stay dry back there, and thanks for being on board. Gordo and the Atlanta HRO gang, WB6NOA.
Okay, WB6NOA, JO3SLK, yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Fresno, and so I know about that West Coast weather, but I still call Seattle home.
We'd like to pride ourselves in having so many different radios of different capabilities so that every ham can find the radio that he or she really, really wants. We have radios that appear that do all the way from 160 up through 440. We have a QRP rig for those who like a very high-quality QRP 5-watt radio. We have a nice portable radio that has all the newest receiver functionality built into it, and a radio under $1,000, a great one for beginners on the HF bands. And our TS950 radio is probably one of the best bangs for the buck we have, that under $1,500. It has tremendous receiver capabilities for fighting QRM, and again, it covers HF bands up through and including 6 meters. Stepping on down the line, then we get into now a really high-quality radio for contesting and DXing our FT2000. And a recent introduction was an extremely popular FTDX5000, who has this particular radio has the best receiver performance numbers of any radio in amateur radio right now. And we're fortunate that Rob Sherwood, who's much respected in the receiver testing part of amateur radio, puts us at the very top of his listings.
Unfortunately, Bob Heil is not here to pitch his own... wait a minute. There we go. Whoa. Bob's not here to pitch his own stuff. So I guess I'm going to have to do it. This is what his mic sounds like. This is my old Electra voice. Bob. Whoa. This is a Goldline mic. I don't know what it is you want to pitch if you had a chance to do it, so I just grabbed the prettiest one here. Well, I grabbed the one that was gold. It's got a switch that will make me sound
like I'm holding my nose. But, you know, this is really good for DX. This is what you want for DX. This
is what you want for broadcasting or for your local FM radio. And there's a push-to-talk switch on it that I don't need because this is television, not radio. So cool. And I'm stealing this microphone.
On the count of three, we would like to hear your call sign, because you will be on Ham Nation. Let's see whose call sign we make out the best. Ready? One, two, three.
KM4IK.
KB6JAT.
Those are called tailenders, bootleggers, and I don't know what.
So this is the DV access point dongle, and it lets you walk away from your PC with a HT or a mobile and be able to get access to the D-Star network. Pretty much any repeater or reflector you can connect into and talk with folks all over the world. And with the DV dongle, you can do the same thing, but you use the headset on your PC, speaker, and mic. And you can connect in and talk to any of the folks around the world that are on repeaters, reflectors, hotspots, dongles, DVAPs, any D-Star technology that's plugged into the D-Star international network. The latest toys are going to be new pieces of software for the DVAP and the DV dongle. Also have some new functionality for D-Plus for the gateways and reflector code as well. And I'm hoping to get all those out by Christmas.
Phil, this is the grand prize?
TS-590 is the grand prize today.
Oh, wow. 590's been out, what, a year now?
A year, yes, right at a year.
Uh-huh. And the hot seller, of course, is a receiver, and...
The receiver is. It's the best receiver you can buy for the money right now. There's a couple of websites. Sherwood Engineering's a great site. He's got it rated in the top 10. It's just hard to touch for the dollar.
Wow, I compare this to my old 950.
Yeah, the DSP is just light years ahead. It's truly 32-bit in this radio. It goes from the first IF all the way through the audio section. The DSP actually even controls the AGC circuitry.
So I guess I'm going to have to upgrade soon to the 590.
Well, not necessarily a 590. There's a large new radio coming out. We'll show it at Dayton this year.
Okay, the new big Kenwood radio coming. All right, the pizza's here, so... Excuse us, courtesy of Kenwood Corporation, it's pizza time, and we'll be drawing for the grand prize shortly.
Let's do it. People on the sidewalk. Can you hear out there? No, you didn't win. Okay. All right, we got a new draw here. Corinne's going to draw for us. Is that how you pronounce it? Corinne? Are you ready? The instructions are on top. Here we go.
Where do you guys see who wins?
Grand prize. Was it Yoshin, right? No. The Chinese dual, no, the Kenwood TS-590. Hot radio.
Right.
What does it retail, Phil? About $1,800? About $1,800. And we actually sell these if you don't win one. No, anyway, here we go.
Now watch carefully.
Santa Claus. I'll be there. You just won.
Yes.
There's your winner.
Patrick is W4VZB for all you guys.
Unbelievable. Santa.
Patrick is a big HF, 6-meter man, D-Star man. It's been great. Wow, first one.
So who's Santa going to give it to?
Ho, ho, ho.
He was speechless.
Y'all sit by the fireplace and Christmas morning, look and see if I came by, okay?
Thank you for all coming out tonight. We are open 30 more minutes. If you need anything to buy or whatever, say hello to people. We'll hang out 30 more minutes and we'll shut the door and we'll head for a nice dinner. Everybody have a good Christmas and all that good stuff. And thanks for coming out, okay?
Thank you all.
Wow, Gary, what a job. What a great job, Gary. You did just spectacular.
Thank you, Gordon. I edited that in my hotel room after
the event. I was up until like 2 o'clock in the morning, and then of course drove back home. So
wow,
edited on a laptop. That is, Julian knows that is painful.
Well, thank you again. Julian and Hannah, our videographers at this end, are going, yes, it is. So, Gary, congratulations. Thanks for taking the 8-plus-8-hour drive to get to us at Ham Radio Outlet Atlanta. All right, Bob, back to you. And then I guess it's time to do a little bit of soldering. Thanks again, Gary. Bob?
Hey, Gary, thanks for doing that, man. That was super duper. Hey, what program do you use? A couple of guys asking, what program do you use to edit that?
I edit on Premiere Pro CS5, the brand new Premiere Pro.
There you go.
On PC.
Okie dokie. Super duper. Thanks a lot for helping them on that. That was great. And so, as you see, the excitement continues here. But, Gordo, let me reach down here. I heard that George is coming on to do some stuff, and so I brought my tools because he's going to do some, I thought, surface mat. George, were you there? Are you there, George?
Yeah, George. Yeah, Bob. You're going to need a little smaller soldering iron, and probably need to trade those pliers in for a set of tweezers for this.
Whoa. What, really?
Gordo, and I grew up with this stuff, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, I put mine over the fire. That's the way I get them to go. I mean, it's only on the surface, right, George?
Well, that's true. You don't want to burn all the way through with that big iron.
Okay. Well, let's go in the corner for a minute, Gordo, and let George take over and tell us what the new technology is. Okay. Take her away, George.
Yeah, it's surface mount technology. Now, the parts that I'm using here are fairly large in the surface mount world. A lot of them are smaller than this, but don't be intimidated or put off by surface mount stuff. It's really not that hard as long as you got a thick enough pair of glasses or a big magnifying glass. So, Alex, let's roll the tape. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to take a look at surface mount technology. Thankfully, we've got Jamaco's Circuit Skills number 4 kit, which is part number 212-4197, and it contains a variety of components. Let's have a look. The first thing we find is the parts list that shows all the components in the kit. We've got two LM386 op amps, and we've got two 555 timers. There's a roll of solder wick in here used for removing components. There's also a battery holder and 9-volt battery. Now let's take a look at the passive components. We've got some 220-ohm resistors, some surface mount LEDs, a photo cell, 0.01 microfarad capacitors, 0.1 microfarad capacitors, 10K ohm resistors, 1K ohm resistors, 100K ohm resistors, and some 1 microfarad capacitors. In the tools department, we have a set of very sharp pointed tweezers. These are going to be great because the surface mount stuff is just a little too small to hold with your fingers. We also have a quick chip SMD removal kit. It contains some alcohol pads, a roll of solder, and some tack flux. The kit also has a little white box that contains a 1-inch beaker. Boy, how thin is that? Fortunately, we also get the equivalent of the perf board in the surface mount world. We've got three little surf boards. These are used to mount your main chip in the center. It's got traces fine enough for that. And then there's a number of pads around the outside that you can mount your other components. Today we're going to use an LM386M-1. You might remember the LM386 we used previously to build an audio amplifier. This is a surface mount version of that chip. This week we're going to build a square wave oscillator. Now the reason I chose this project is because the kit contained the necessary components and the right values that I could put it together. I only had to add one extra component. Now, if you're going to work with surface mount components at home, there are a couple of tips that'll come in real handy here. The first thing you're going to want is a box top. That way, if you drop some of your parts, They're going to be much easier to find than if they're on the carpet. I'm going to put a piece of white paper in here so that things are a little bit easier to see. Let's put the components we're going to use in the box. Of course, we're going to need a surfboard. We're going to need our LM386M-1 chip, which will go in the middle there. We're also going to need some 10K ohm resistors, 1K ohm resistors, and we're going to need a 0.1 microfarad capacitor, a speaker. Of course, we'll need some power, so we'll use the 9-volt battery and battery holder. And there's one more component I needed that wasn't in the kit, and that's a 47 microfarad capacitor. We're going to use an old one I salvaged out of that computer power supply a while back. We'll need a few tools, too. So, of course, a set of tweezers. That's going to be very necessary. By the way, if you've noticed this place on my hand here, that is not where I grabbed the soldering iron by the wrong end. That was just a misunderstanding between a piece of rebar and a hacksaw. Now, these components are going to slide around when you try to solder them with the iron, so you're going to need some way to hold them in place. And now, a lot of guys will use this tacky material, like is used to hang notes on walls and such, and they'll take a little piece of that and put it on the bottom of the chip and then stick it to the board. Some people will even use super glue for this. Well, I've never done that. I use another method. It's a little tool here that you build using a toothpick and one of these clamps. You could also use a clothespin instead of the clamp, but I prefer the extra weight that the clamp provides. Once you get your component positioned on the PC board, then you just take the toothpick and put its weight on top of the component to hold it in place while you solder. Now, to give you a little better idea of the size of components we're dealing with, here's a quarter, and here's the surfboard. This is a LM386 op amp. Now, here's a piece of 20-gauge wire, and we compare that with our 1K ohm resistor and the soldering tip I'll be using for this job. I'm not sure of the size of it, but it's the smallest one I could find that would fit my iron. When you begin surface mount soldering, if you're not careful, the components will slip around on the board. We'll have to do a little work to straighten this back up, but it's not impossible. Next, we'll solder a leg on the opposite corner so that we've got the chip seated firmly. Now we'll solder the remaining legs, being careful not to create any solder bridges in the process. Pin 1 and pin 8 of the chip should be connected together, so we'll put in a little jumper wire. We also need a ground bus for our circuit, so we'll connect a few of these outer pads together. Pin 2 of the IC is going to connect to one end of our string of 10K ohm resistors, so we'll put a little jumper wire down to some pads we can use for the resistors. Now, it's at this point that I realize that pin 2 also needed a 0.1 microfarad capacitor connected to ground, and there's no ground bus near the chip here. So we're going to get creative and stand the 0.1 microfarad capacitor on its end and solder it to the trace. Now we can take a jumper wire to the top of the capacitor and run it over to our ground bus. Now we'll mount the string of three 10K ohm resistors in a row. Now, it's at this point that I realized pin 3 was going to have a 1K ohm resistor to ground, and it would have to stand on its head as well. We would need to solder a ground wire to the top, and fortunately, ground was right next door on top of the 0.1 microfarad capacitor. Now, we needed a 10K ohm resistor from pin 3 to the output of our circuit, and we had a bus right here handy, so we just soldered it right to it. Now, pin 4 of the chip also needs to go to ground, so at this point I decided it's best to go ahead and put that jumper up to our ground bus running on top of the components next door. Now we can put our jumper from pin 3 over to our 10K ohm resistor we installed previously. On the other side of that 10K ohm resistor, we need to place a jumper that runs over to our string of 10K ohm resistors that we previously connected to pin 2. We'll connect our battery now with the negative lead going to the ground bus, and the positive lead going to pin 6 of the chip. Next, we'll connect our two speaker terminals, And then there's only one component left to go, and that's the 47 microfarad capacitor, the only component that wasn't surface mount. Here's our completed square wave oscillator, surface mount version. We've got the LM386M-1 chip here in the middle. You can see around the outside in various points in the circuit that I had to use some jumper wires to connect things together, but that's to be expected. After all, this is the equivalent of perf board. There's a ground bus that goes around the outside, and if you look from the side here, you can see the 0.1 microfarad capacitor and the 1K ohm resistor that I had to stand on their ends in order to get them to fit. And, of course, there's also the ground bus that I had to run across the top of the two of them. And now we've arrived at the moment of truth. That's it.
How cool next, is that? Somebody
next
in the
week,
chat. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, next week, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the schematic of the oscillator and what those parts actually do and how you can change frequency and various mods with it.
That's great. Somebody in the chat room said something about, well, what's the thrill of all this building? It didn't look good to him. Well, let me tell you something. The thrill is when you turned it on and it worked.
That's yep, the thrill. Exactly.
My goodness, you built it. That's wonderful, George. Thanks so much. And we look forward to every week having you do something. And you have something you're giving away this week, right?
Yeah, we're going to give away this MFJ 24-hour clock that every ham needs. And we had a contest from last week's show. What you needed to do was count the number of sound effects that I use in the smoke and solder segment and then email those to hamnationcontests@gmail.com. And we had some people do that, and I put their names in the hat here, everyone who got it correct. The correct answer was debatable because we didn't know whether to count Gordo's laugh as a sound effect or not. So anyone who guessed around 10, 11, or 12 sound effects got their name in the hat. Nice glasses, Gordo. That's what you need.
He's ready.
So we'll shake them up here, and I dropped two on the floor. Let me grab those.
Uh-oh. Hey, now, wait a minute. We can't have that. Pick them all up. We're
got to have everybody in the hat here.
Okay.
Little sound effect. And we'll reach in and pull out a winner here. And our winner of the 24-hour MFJ clock is James KF7POH, Papa Oscar Henry. So, James, congratulations. We'll be mailing out the MFJ 24-hour clock to you this week. And we've got something we're going to give away next week. And this is a little MFJ 2-meter 440 telescopic antenna. It'll give you more gain than you're going to have on your HT with the rubber duck that comes with it. You can see it's a little taller, and it's not necessarily that it's taller that helps. It's that it's resonant. You can leave it all the way out, and I think it's a quarter wave on 2 meters or 5/8 on 70 centimeters. Or you could even shorten the thing and run it on some of the higher frequencies if you just wanted to do a little calculating. So to give that away, I think this week's contest, we're going to use Gordo's stumper. So, Gordo, have you got a stumper for us?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Gordo dropped his audio at the worst time. Yeah. I think he might have cut a wire, George. What do you think? Oh,
yeah, no. He never should have let him loose with those pliers in there. Oh, the fire extinguisher, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, they'll have to get some of that going. Yeah, Jack Daniels, that's what you need right now to fix everything. That's true. But you'll get her going.
Well, we can have an alternative here if Gordo can't give us his stumper this week. What we'll do is just mail in the, let's see, the number of the chip that I used in this segment this week. Just mail in the number of that chip to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll have a drawing for this antenna next week.
Yeah, that's Ham Nation Contest, not contest. Somebody sent one that had an S on it. Is that right, George? Something went crazy there. What
right.
was that?
Yeah, it's not plural. It's just Ham Nation Contest ending with a T.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I hope that you get a lot of responses from that, and we'll see how that all turns out. Before we go away tonight, I'm really proud of something that happened for Leo and all of the Twit family. Radio World is, of course, an international magazine about the broadcast industry. And for years, they have not really talked about podcasting or any kind of internet service because they always kind of looked at it like a toy. Leo Laporte, in the past 10 years, has turned that toy into a tremendous piece of information to the broadcast industry, how to do it. And I'm extremely proud of Leo and all of you in Petaluma. Check this out. This is a front page centerfold or center selection there of Leo. And there's three pages that they wrote an article inside the Radio World magazine. And there are thousands of radio stations and engineers that will get to read about Leo. And there's some great pictures of the Ham Nation broadcast and talks about Ham Nation in that article. But I'm really, really proud of every one of you in Petaluma that put this broadcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As well as the others. My goodness, Gordo, you know, they have just gone all the way here on Ham Nation. We drive them crazy because
we really do. And they're great to keep up with all the technical. Yeah, I did. I cut the piece of wire here with the wrong tool. But we're back again and can't wait to get all of the Q&As coming in from our valued listeners and viewers. And Bob Gary just did a great job, and we thank him for that. And I'll look forward to seeing everybody along with Julian and Hannah behind the cameras next week over at the Dankert's residence. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to see that station because it's just the ultimate when it comes to high-tech station. So we'll look forward to seeing Dan and Kristen next week. So I think we're pretty much there for Ham Nation tonight. We thank everybody. Gary, for all of your work with the videos. They were just great. Julian, you and Hannah and Gordo did a tremendous job of getting everything together for Sharon. So we appreciate you getting that all together. There she is.
There they are.
And Sharon and Wayne look great. So we'll have them on here sometime live. I think that would be a good thing to do. So thanks to everybody. And George, we always appreciate what you're doing. And the chat room is just aglow with everything that's happening. Well, I want to also mention that 7204 and 7208, whatever's open, we're going to try to get on there in a little while. And maybe we can see Jeff. Gordo, Jeff, KC8CFM, just signed into the chat room. He worked his first DX station with his new license. How do you like that?
Oh, wow. That's terrific. And we should also be on the WX4ADX D-Star, possibly the 30 Bravo or maybe the 14 Charlie. But anyway, go to your favorite D-Star reflector that you heard us last week, and likely you'll hear us again this week.
All right.
And I've got the EchoLink details here. Anyone who'd like to connect to EchoLink, that is star, do drop in, star. You have to put the asterisk before and after do drop in, or the node number 355-800.
All right. Well, we'll look for everybody on those frequencies. And we thank Lynn. We thank Alex and everybody in Petaluma. And I hope Leo is having fun in Paris.
Oh, wow. Paris. Wow. Poor guy.
Oh, boy. So we'll see all of you next week right here. Same place, same time. But have all your friends dial in on the replays. You know, we're on iTunes. And all the replays are there. Just if anybody asks about Ham Nation, put it in Google. Comes right up and we're there. We'll see you all next week. Thanks so much for spending time with us. We'll catch up with you somewhere over here on one of these receivers and transmitters. And Hope that you have as much fun with ham radio as all of us. Bye-bye for now. 7-3 from K9EID in central part of the United States.